Welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm still sick. You would never know it because I'm with Caitlin. And as long as I'm with Caitlin, I sound like I'm much improved, even though I'm not.
Were in the hospital.
Yeah. I'm also wearing some of our very own merch today. So if you forgot about us.
So good on you.
I'm wearing one of our baby tees. I probably watch more sports than you. It's almost a definite fact. We had to put probably just in case.
just in case you do watch more sports than us.
It's probably unlikely unless you watch baseball, then you have me beat. there it is.
That is a fact.
It is a perfect time to get any lovely ladies or gentle humans in your life some eSports merch.
We have lots of cute stuff too. We've got
for literally everyone.
Yes, literally everyone. We have unisex tanks. We have women tanks. We have crop tanks. We have unisex t-shirts, women's t-shirts, crop t-shirts. The crop tee that Spencer's wearing. It's a baby tee. We've got sweatshirts. We've got hats. All sorts of really cute stuff with like cute sayings on it. Just plain new sports stuff. So if you want to support us at all, you can do that.
Please do.
Say, is it?
That didn't sound as crispy as I wanted it to.
Damn it. I was hoping it would. I was going to say, is it acceptable for me to crack open a cold one on camera? I'm so tired.
Crack open a cold one?
Does this one? does this have caffeine in it? How does this work?
I think they do. Diet Coke does at least.
Okay, right? I feel like Diet Dr. Pepper does too.
Yes, I wanted to say also, if you want to support us, please like and subscribe and turn that little ring-a-ding-ding notification on so we can chat with you guys. As we always say, we love when you comment below. So please do that. And also, we always have chapters. And if you're too lazy to use those because people have really been liking our banners, I've been putting banners so you can even scroll through and see kind of what we're talking about in the moment. Today, we have a few things to discuss because there's a lot of random shit happening in the NBA right now.
What is the NBA right now?
What is the NBA? What is the NBA without... Let's just go ahead and dive in. We don't need a 10-minute intro today. What is the NBA without LeBron? And LeBron is out for personal reasons.
This is like, you were the one that told me this. I've been like so busy. I was telling Spencer yesterday, like, I feel like I've been so out of touch this week. I've been so disgustingly busy. And so she texted me and immediately I'm like typing in like, what happened to LeBron?
Someone texted me and was like, is LeBron going to jail? And I said, what? This is like my friend that like doesn't watch the NBA. So I was like, what?
Is LeBron
what
going
miss?
To jail?
I was like, did something
That's
happen
incredible.
Last night? I'm like Googling.
I love that.
Essentially, which at first this is what I thought had to do with it because that's what she made it seem like, is I guess like some UFC fighter like yesterday or 2 days ago called out LeBron James for a comment he made like on camera with Diddy years ago or something, saying there's no party like a Diddy party. At first I was like, I don't, like, that's so random. I was like, I don't think that's it. So do I think that's why he's stepped away? No. It's awkward timing. I think it's really random. Like the UFC guy was like,
oh, timing.
He deserves to be in the same jail as Diddy. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to say, I think there's a lot of bad stuff going on in Hollywood right now that I don't know about. And I'm sure there are plenty of athletes who have been involved in some of the scandal stuff. Do I think LeBron James is part of some SEX trafficking ring? No. So I don't know what that's all about. I think this is more about his basketball play lately. I think Father Time is creeping, is tiptoeing. He's on his heels, maybe. I don't know.
Do
you
know what I think?
I do.
I do. So obviously Time is a thing. I mean, he's what, 40 in March? Does he turn 40 in March? Is that when it is?
December. The end of this month.
Oh, in December. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So then he's about to turn 40. So I definitely think that like time is a factor and, you know, maybe his body's starting to wear down. He definitely had a couple weeks where he was shooting pretty bad. His last couple games though have been okay.
Because I was just looking, because I know he had been going through a shooting slump, and then his last, he missed the game, his first game with the Trailblazers on December 8th. But then December 6th against the Hawks, 39 points, 14 for 25, 6 for 11 from three, a triple-double. The game before, 29 points, 12 for 18 from the field. You know, it hasn't been that bad. I will say, like, before then, he was definitely going through a slump. It was pretty, like, spotty. For sure. And he's also been second in turnovers in the league. He has been a turnover machine.
He has a little menace on the turnovers.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. But, you know, speaking of turnovers, it has to do with my thought, actually. Another team that turns the ball over a lot is the Golden State Warriors. And apparently it's come out. I mean, obviously there's rumors like crazy about trades right now. If you don't know, Sunday trades are technically open for restricted free agents, I think, or unrestricted free agents. I'm not sure which one it is, but like 85 players in the league are able to be traded or moved around as of Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit after that, the other group of players eligible for trades are then eligible as well. So my thought is that apparently last year at the trade deadline, when like the Warriors like were kind of talking about getting LeBron, and LeBron was like, no, I want to try with this team and blah, blah, blah. Apparently the Warriors have been like obsessing over it. And so has Steph about like getting LeBron. And things have come out that like the Lakers, like if LeBron wants to be moved, they're going to do, you know, they'll do what he wants and blah, blah, blah. And the Warriors are looking at literally anyone. The Warriors' names have been shown on everyone for trades. Jimmy Butler, freaking Vucevic.
Which again, cracks me up, because like they've obviously had such a deep team. Obviously they've had like a couple injuries since the start of their season. But it's like, who else do you need?
I know. Well, I think that they're going to utilize their deep bench
To move get people, maybe which makes one sense. Good player. I mean,
yeah, like I think
I wish
they might
the Nuggets
trade.
Have that capital.
Right, right. I think that they might like move a couple of players and maybe like a couple of picks or whatever to get someone big. But my thought is, I mean, he's out for personal reasons. Everyone is always out for personal reasons right before they get traded. We're 2 days away from the opening of a trade.
But do you think he's really that, like, I just feel like him and Anthony Davis are really close. Maybe, of course, they I'm not are. Their friend. I don't know. It's like, are you going, and then you drafted your son to the Lakers. So I'm like, are you, like, where's Bronny going in all this?
They said that Bronny would go wherever he does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have no comments on that. I just feel like, LeBron loves. What?
Did you see that Bronny scored 30 points in the G League game yesterday?
Oh.
He played in an away game and scored 30 points.
Wow.
So I'm going to say Bronny. Is that I will shout him out for that, because I talk shit about him not playing in G League games or in away games, and I talk shit about him not scoring, and then he goes and scores 30 points in an away game.
Congrats.
So go him. But yes, so my new conspiracy theory is that he's currently out, quote unquote. JJ Redick said that it's an excused absence, quote unquote.
I don't think he's
LeBron to the Warriors. I think that they're gonna go for their fifth ring together.
I don't think he's leaving midseason. I think everyone would hate him if he left midseason.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure they would absolutely hate him. I'm sure it would be a whole big thing.
I don't know if I think it's more has to do with his body. I mean, he's like obviously getting up there.
Absolutely.
And he's having like kind of like his worst season, I think they said, since his rookie season numbers, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think maybe, you know, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. It's a lot of traveling. Like, I mean, they've done studies on how bad traveling like wears and tears on your body if you're constantly in the air. So that's my guess more, is maybe he like really is just gassed and is like, I can't, like I need, you know, some time right now. Fine. I think the Diddy stuff is all a rumor. I don't think he's going to the Warriors. I love you so much, bestie. But if he, you know, I'll eat my words if he does, but I don't know.
If he does, we have to go to some games. We have to find a way, because
I hate him. I literally dislike him so much. If he goes,
but
I don't care.
Such good basketball.
You know what's so funny? People are like, "Have you ever seen the King play in person?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've seen the Nuggets send him home now 2 back-to-back seasons in a row in the playoffs. It's been live. It's been great. I was there when Jamal hit a shot. I was behind the basket. Yeah, we can continue we can continue talking about trades for some oldies, and we'll talk about Jimmy Butler. Because his name has been in the mix all of the sudden.
Okay, and I'm going to start here. I need to start with the whole Shams and...
Shams. I think it's Shams.
It I'm is, trying and to be I will never call correct. Him Shams. Sorry.
Don't give a F about your name. It reminds me, like, if any of you have seen Wicked yet, it's like when Ariana Grande plays Glinda and her name is really Galinda and the professor can't pronounce it. And she's like, I don't understand why it's that hard. It's Galinda, not Glinda.
I'm dead. No, literally. It's just like
Caitlin's like, it's like the same thing.
Well, it's like the same thing with the Warriors Rockets game. They were talking about Alperen Şengün. And they were like, did you know that his last name is pronounced like Şengün? And like, and they were like, anyway, Alperen Şengün. And I was like, that's me. That's so me. Like, I can't physically, like, I've called you the same name for so long. I can't, like, physically pronounce it different, you know?
Give us the tea, though. Tell us what happened, Caitlin.
Oh, well, okay. So
there's
Shams. Yeah, there's some drums with Shams. He pretty much, obviously he's taken place of Woj or Woj. People say that his name is Woj. I hate everything.
Woj anyway. Bombs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I always call them Woj Bombs. I'm going to kill myself. Okay, sorry. Sorry, everyone. I won't actually, but maybe. I mean, no. Anyway, so he has taken his place. He's been obviously... He's been releasing trade rumors and stuff like that. And one of his trade rumors, or like some of his trade rumors, a lot of them have been about Jimmy Butler and Jimmy Butler's like possible landing spots. He keeps tweeting about it and saying that like he's heard from his sources and everything that, you know, these are the places that Jimmy Butler would, you know, be okay going XYZ. And I'll have Spencer get into those places in a second. But, you know, he's like, these are the places that Jimmy Butler's name has been like attached to and where he could be going. And he keeps like attaching Bernie Lee, which is Jimmy Butler's agent. He keeps attaching his name to everything. And so Bernie, Mr. Bernard, has been like reaming him on social media.
Just he called being, it like, utter made up bullshit.
Literally.
To be exact. Yes.
No, like he's literally been reaming him a new asshole on social media, just being like, this is not factual. His words have no they've validity. Got no weight to them. They have no validity. Like he's getting this information from nowhere. It's all fake. Like he's just essentially saying that everything that Shams is saying is not okay.
But to me, it's just not right. If he had told people that though, and he got caught,
and he's protecting himself,
he's like, I never said that shit.
Yep, was my exact thought too. Because it's then Shams guilty. Goes on, yes. So Shams goes on to the TV. And to the TV, he just hops on in the TV. He goes on some show on TV or whatever, and they were asking him about it. And Shams stood on business. He said, "I actually like." He's like, "I'm standing on my on exactly what I'm
on
saying.
My word.
I'm a reporter. Yep, I'm a reporter. I get information. I do my due diligence. I, you know, look into it. I talk to people." And he's like, that's my job as a reporter. I only report factual things, and I'm standing on exactly what I reported. Like, so Shams stood on business. Bernie Lee is standing on business. Exactly. So I have no idea who to believe, but they're all over social media. I do too, actually.
The agent's just trying to save his ass from running his mouth.
That's what I was going to say. Yep. He's trying to protect himself because... I think that he probably was opening his big mouth, talking to certain people, said something to someone who then reached out to Shams. Shams then reports on it And that's his job. That's all I'm going to say. Like, his job is breaking that, like, that news to people. You know, if we all remember, Woj and Shams, I literally feel like I'm speaking with an accent now, pronouncing their names differently. It really hurts my feelings. But they, you know, used to, during like the trade deadline and an off season and things like that, they always like would race to see, you know, who reports it first and stuff. And so that's what Shams does. That's exactly what he does. And I just think that Jimmy's guy, what's his name? Agent Bernie. I think he's just trying to protect himself from opening his big mouth.
I already saw this coming. I figured that Jimmy Butler, as soon, obviously he didn't sign a contract extension. He is 35. He makes 48.8 mil now and has an option worth 52.4 million for next season that he obviously declined.
His player option that he declined.
He did not sign whatever it was. He did not sign, you know, an extension with the Miami Heat this offseason, whatever that looked like for him. That's his option, whatever. I think he is obviously looking for something long-term. His preferred landing spots apparently have been reported as Rockets, Mavs, Warriors, Suns. Okay, the first thing I'm going to say is, because a lot of people in Nuggets camp were like, ooh, like Michael Porter for Jimmy Butler. I'm going to hold your hand when I tell you this. I do not want Jimmy Butler. Not that he said the Nuggets were one of his spots. I love Jimmy Butler so much, but in this stage in time, he's 35. He really hasn't been that healthy. You know, he missed the playoffs last year because of his, you know, knee stuff. Like, he hasn't even played. I don't think he's played every game this season so far. So to me, like, I love Jimmy Butler. It's just like, how much? Oh, and it's also the price. Like, why am I going to be paying that much for a player that is in the
on his way out,
in the final stages, kind of in his, like, he's got mileage, okay, on the knees, on the ankles, okay? So those are his reported top four wish lists, which makes sense. It did crack me up, though. It's like Rockets, Warriors, Suns. He's like, I'm trying to be in the land of the warm. He's like, if I'm leaving Miami, literally, like, at least let me go somewhere warm. So I just wanted to talk about how likely it would be for him to go to any of these places. I think Mavs is one of the least likely, in my personal opinion.
I agree.
And I actually
he fits in on that team.
No, and I was listening to, I've talked about it before, the All NBA podcast, and they were talking about the Kings, saying, Adam was talking about how he doesn't know how much he believes in big threes. And I actually am so big on that. I talked about not being sure about the DeRozan trade, and I've talked about some of the Knicks stuff before, because you have to have good role players. I believe fully in big twos. You know, you got to have a great, like, especially when it comes to, like, people like the Nuggets or in the Kings, like a good duo with, you know, a good big and a good guy that you can run the two-man
De'Aaron
pick and roll
Fox
game with.
And yeah. DeMontis Sabonis, yeah.
So I'm all for, like, big twos. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving. That's not even, you know, like a big and a, but you have two really good offensive pieces. I think things get complicated when you have someone that is also used to having the ball in their hands all the time. Like, I can't.
It's like friendships. Friendships with three people. They always say that one person is always going to get
always
left out.
Always feels a little left out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking down, it's like the sidewalk rule.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Always in the back of the sidewalk.
That's me.
That was
no,
me
but like
for a while. Me too.
But that's literally, like, that's just, like, kind of how I feel about it, about big threes these days. Like,
yeah.
I think that, like, everyone kind of wanted to replicate the Warriors, but I really do believe that, like, with Klay, Steph, and Dre, I really do believe that they got so lucky with,
the KD, Klay, Steph, Dre, like, that was just a unique situation, okay?
Correct. Exactly. I totally agree. And I think that it takes a very special chemistry and a very special connection, like, on the court and even off the court. You know, like, the three of them became absolute best friends and, you know, their families and they were together all the time, and they were playing basketball together all the time. It takes a really special group of people, or like a really rare group of people, to be able to make that work. And I think that a lot of people have really tried to replicate it, but Spencer, I think you're totally right. I feel like really great duos is kind of what you need nowadays, with a lot of really good role players around the duo. Duos can work really well off of each other. Like you said, you can, a lot of times with like a big and, you know, a point guard or, you know, another guard, you can play the two-man game, and you can really work that into your system. But I don't know. It's I don't know where Jimmy Butler would go. I mean, I think that Houston could be a pretty good place for him. I like the idea of him with Houston. I hate the idea of him on the Suns. I don't think that he fits in the Suns at all.
With a lot of, like, I think the only place that potentially he could go is the Warriors. So with the Mavs, first of all, like, Jimmy makes so much money, they literally probably have to give up Clay, PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford, or a combination of that. And those guys made their season last year when they got, obviously not Clay, but PJ and Daniel were such important role pieces. And again, like, I'm fully convinced in the new NBA, you need two insanely offensive players. You need two elite defenders. And
then one 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, or two. Yeah, like you need like two catch and shoot threats next to your two insane offensive players, but you also have to have your two insane perimeter defenders with just like the way this works. I don't think it works for the Mavs at all. I think it would be detrimental to the team. I think it would actually be a disaster. So I'm sure that's the lowest on their list. Suns, they were saying this makes some sense only because I guess Bradley Beal had openly admitted before that his preferred trade team prior to going to Phoenix was the Heat. So they were like, okay, well, like maybe he'd waive his no trade clause. But because of like all the salary cap bullshit, you know, with the apron, they would need to trade, you know, other people, or like a third team would be required for this, you know, it would be like have to be like a multiple team trade situation. I mean, I think Phoenix would like be fine to go from Bradley Beal to Butler, you know, since Bradley Beal hasn't been totally impressive, you know, and he's been super injured. But I'm like, are you trading one injured player for another injured player? Yeah. So again, I don't think Miami wants Bradley Beal, because he has 3 years and $161 million remaining on his contract.
Ow.
So
that's a lot of time and money.
So I don't think that's going to happen. Lastly, we have, the Rockets and the Warriors. The reason I don't think it will work with the Rockets, which I think it would if they could keep everybody. But first of all, their GM had basically said, like, if they would, like, trade for a star in this season, he said, yeah, I'll pick up the phone if someone calls. That's literally my job, but don't expect fireworks. So I don't know if he's...
Interesting. Okay.
So I think he likes... I mean, I don't know why they would need a trade when they're literally, like, the second team right now.
They're doing amazing. Absolutely.
They're doing amazing. And I think any deal would literally have to include trading Fred VanVleet. And Fred VanVleet has, like, been their guy with this new, like, system they've been building. So
that's true.
Otherwise, you'd have to give like Dylan Brooks and like Reed Sheppard or Jabari Smith. It's like a lot of these teams I think would be giving up their invaluable role players for a guy that costs way too much money and is nearing the end. And what's a long-term contract? It's like PG wanted last year. That's why he didn't stay with the Clippers. And look how that worked out for the 76ers. So,
wow. I think I was going to say Warriors. Like the Warriors though, I feel like with the Warriors, what they would probably give up is like Kuminga, Pods, D'Anthony Melton, because D'Anthony Melton's obviously out. But like it kind of, I feel like maybe the Heat feel as though they've kind of run their course with their older guys. Yeah. And they're like willing to go like a little bit younger and hungrier. I mean, obviously,
I think they're in a weird state because Jaime is doing not great this season. It's almost Brandon Podziemski. It's almost like you're like, what happened? You were amazing last year.
What happened to you?
But Tyler Herro is having an amazing season. So I'm also wondering if they're just like maybe going to rebuild around Tyler Herro. That's kind of what
I'm wondering.
Yeah, basically a lot of people are saying that it would either, you know, they could do Andrew Wiggins, D'Anthony Melton, not all of these, but a combination, Kuminga, Pajemski, or Moses Moody, and picks to make the trade happen. But it's, would Miami want Kuminga? Probably not. He's only 22, but like he hasn't been doing that great. You know, like he goes through really good stretches and then he's like,
inconsistent. I think if you give him the time, then I think it works for him. I think that his problem is that Steve Kerr, it's very much so kind of like a Malone with the young guys. Like the second you make a mistake, you're benched and, you know, and yeah. And it's just like, I feel like that doesn't really build a lot for you. Like you need to be allowed to make mistakes. As long as they're not stupid mistakes that you're consistently making over and over again, you need to be allowed to make mistakes and grow, like, or else you're never going to be able to play in hard games later on.
It feels like it's almost like a safety blanket. And especially when you have people like Steve Kerr, who's used to winning and he has like had these literal franchise amazing players for so long. I'm sure it's hard to let go of that rope. I'd be the same way. I'm like, I'm going to let us lose these minutes to develop a younger player. Like, I'm sure it's like so hard in your brain. You're like, I have to like let him get minutes, but I don't want to let him get minutes. And I think Malone is like that. Like Jokic, he says, is his safety blanket, which makes sense. He's Nikola Jokic. Yep. It's like as someone that loves to compete and loves to win, how do I justify putting in this player that keeps making silly mistakes, even though they have to make those mistakes to get better? So like a lot of people said, it was almost like good that Peyton Watson was able to get starting minutes this season, only because he was getting those extra minutes with starters to, you know, develop and play better. Because it is hard when you have these teams that want to win championships. You know, I think it's easier to let your players develop when you're like the Pistons and you're like, well, like, let's see what happens when we throw you in there.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say, is that I think you and I have talked about this like briefly for an episode in the past. Like, it's really hard being a young player on a contending team, because it's really hard for the coaches to be able to, like you said, justify letting you develop in these hard situations when you want to win and when you want to win now. And that is really hard. And I think that like the Warriors for so long were kind of trying to do this whole two timeline thing where they were trying to get Steph another ring, or Steph and Dre another ring, while also trying to develop these players.
Yeah. Exactly. For when they're gone to win rings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Nuggets and the Warriors trying to do the same thing.
Ouch. So that's why, like, I kind of feel like if Jimmy Butler or even LeBron James were to, you know, go to the Warriors, like it would make sense, because I feel like they're kind of like shying away from like the two timeline thing and being like, Steph and Dre only have a few years left. Like, if we want to get him like their fifth ring, we kind of have to do it ASAP. And so they're players that want that.
Why would you also want to waste like just their last 2 years when they're still playing elite, you know? Like, obviously, obviously Steph and LeBron, like, aren't... obviously, Steph and LeBron aren't playing, like, at their peak, but they are still annoyingly some of the best players in the NBA. So, I understand. But, yeah, it's like, is Jimmy going to be healthy? Do you want to lose those guys that you have the potential to see upcoming for one of those guys? So, I think it's all... I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I'll be interested to see if he goes somewhere. I knew Jimmy wasn't going to stay there. I had a feeling.
I feel like, I was going to say, I feel like I've been having a hunch over like the last couple of years that like just, you know, it wasn't forever. Mm-mm. I'm just so glad that I'm not a GM having to make these decisions.
Oh, no, 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 no. I am too impulsive and trigger happy. If I was a GM, like, because I already yell at our GM of the Nuggets every single day, wondering why he hasn't gotten Lonnie Walker and all these other people. So clearly he knows. Maybe I'm just praying that Calvin Booth knows something that I don't know and that he's not a double agent. Because until he gets me someone that can help Nikola Jokic, I will never stop believing that he is working for another Western Conference team under the table.
I'm so dead.
So let's move on, though. We are basically a quarter or maybe a little past, which is so insane, into the NBA season. If you didn't know, there's an 82-game regular season.
It's like almost a third of the way. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to cry.
It's like in between a quarter and a third.
And so Caitlin and I were just going to chat about kind of like so far who's been the most shocking. And this is good and bad. This is people good we did not teams. Expect to be at the bottom and people we did not expect to be at the top. And I'm going to start with the 76ers because I said, and we've talked about this a couple shows since then, that the 76ers had the best chance to win a ring with, you know, Embiid. That they did, like, this was their basically, like, it felt like their last chance, you know, like they got all these people in their offseason. They got Caleb Martin, they got Eric Gordon, they got, you know, even like Jared McCain. They didn't expect him to, you know, be doing what he's doing. You got PG and you have Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid has now played 5 games. Boo. Tomato,
out
tomato.
Of what, 22?
PG's playing awful. He also hasn't played a ton. And so, like, not only is your star never available, which, like, I literally can't imagine being a Philadelphia fan and having to, like, every day look at the thing and be like, oh, not playing again. And then you get PG. How exciting. And then he's either not playing or he's playing terribly. So I don't know what it is. Like, if you would have told me, though, that the 76ers were going to be 7-15, they are 13 games behind the Cavs, the number one seed. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. They are so bad.
Yeah, and I'm think shocked. That I'm right there with you. I think that you and I both talked about this, that like they got so many good pieces in the offseason. And I feel like they built like this, what was on paper supposed to be a really good team, but it's almost like the Suns where it's like if they're healthy and playing, yeah, I'm sure they can be good. But when your rookie is your star player for most of the season.
Showing up and showing out.
Yeah. When you have guys like what? Kyle Lowry, Tyrese Maxey, Andre Drummond.
I forgot they got
Paul George.
Kyle Lowry. Like,
and everyone's like Jared McCain. I'm like, that's a bad thing.
That's like the only
76ers.
Person you hear coming out of there. And it's, where would you think though? Because like, I fully think they have to move on from Joel Embiid after this season if they don't do anything. Yeah. But where would you think he would go?
France?
Like, do you like in the NBA, like, do you have, I literally don't even know where he would go.
Let me think about it for a second.
Because again, it's the like Hawks. even if Jokic was injured, like they would choose like him over. Literally, they would probably give their arm and a leg, not even knowing if Jokic was coming back. I'm sure anyone would give that to get Jokic. Totally. So I'm sure, even though Embiid is always injured, like people are obviously still going to try and give an arm and a leg for him. But that's interesting. The Hawks, okay.
Well, because the Hawks. Maybe someone like the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are trying to get rid of Vucevic.
That's what I was saying. They're getting Vucevic.
Vucevic. I'm too dumb for this. Like, I need to get a dictionary for
European,
my birthday.
And no, I think it's just the European names. The itches. Ugh.
Yes, and like the little, those are like, the symbols on top of the letters.
Yeah, like Chanchar. Yeah, Chanchar.
It's too hard for me. I'm sorry, guys. I'll try my best, but I'm just...
It's okay. Sorry to all of our European friends. We know a lot of you watch the show.
No, and if you do, please just like correct me on all of them. Like, I'm talking like I need phonics, okay? You give me the breakout of each word. Yes, I need it. Yeah. I need the breakout of
each
one.
But do you
agree
that
too much for
you
me.
Think Embiid's gone after this year?
I mean,
I don't know his contract, to be fair. I don't know what that looks like.
I don't either. I haven't looked at his contract, but like, I just feel like if you're the 76ers, you tried so hard and like, and I get it. Like, you've held on to him because of like what could be.
You know what he can do.
Yes, he can be incredible. He can be such a good player, and we've seen
it. But even in the five games he's played this season, he's not even playing like...
He's been rough. Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree. I just... I feel like if you're the 76ers and you want any chance of winning, you have to. Like, you've had this guy for years and years and years and years, and you're building this team around him, and you give him everything that he wants. I mean, literally, like, you've had James Harden next to him. You have Tyrese Maxey.
You had Jimmy Butler there.
You had Jimmy Butler, yes. You know, you've had so many pieces next to him. How many people do you have to bring in? Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, so, like, you can't make it work with any of these guys. Like, you have to. I mean, they... Not making it past the first round for so many years.
And like, and just you being, have that team meeting like that, like happening. Clearly there's like some, and I think locker room stuff is so big, like so big, because if you're not happy with who you're playing with, you're not going to be happy work. Like, I don't, it's when I used to bartend, there were people that I got so excited to go to work with, and we had the best time. We made so much money together. And then you have the people that you like hate working with, and you have a miserable shift. And your attitude shows it. So I'm sure on the court, you don't magically just let all that go if you're unhappy with the way people are acting. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
I agree.
I don't want to talk about that. And you and I talked about,
I was going to say, you and I talk about that a lot with like a lot of teams. I think that like chemistry, attitude, you know, the mental part of the game, it's so important. And especially when it comes to team chemistry, if you hate your teammates, why are you going to play well with them on the court? You're not going to. Yeah. You're not. Because, like, as much as you want to say, you're not going to be like,
oh, let me pass to him. No, I'm taking the spot. That's what I was about to say.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because, like, as much as you want to say in your head, bless you, Mom. As much as you want to say in your head that, like, I'm not biased. I'll do whatever it takes for the game. Like, it doesn't matter if I like him or not. No, that's so not true. Because when you're playing the game, like, your first thought is going to be, F that guy. I'm not going to pass to him. I'm going to pass to some other rando.
Yeah, or like, and he doesn't pass to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, totally agree. And I think that that's part of the reason that they literally got Jordan Poole off of the Warriors was because the whole riff or tiff or whatever the hell you want to call it between Draymond and Jordan Poole was affecting the like friendship and chemistry of the team. Yeah. No one knew whose side to pick. And that team literally missed the playoffs that year. Like, you have Steph Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson missing the playoffs because team chemistry was bad. You know, like, I just, I feel like that stuff is so important. So definitely a shock for me.
I think another shock for me has been the Pacers. Like, obviously, specifically so Tyrese true. Halliburton, Tyrese. Obviously. But the Pacers as a whole, of course, you had injuries that helped you get to the conference finals last year. Yeah. But they're 10-15 now. They're 11 games behind, you know, the one seed. They're... Yep. I'm just shocked with how the season went. And, you know, I kind of couldn't believe they gave up Buddy Hield last year. You know, he's been great for the Warriors for the most part.
It's so funny because, like, Pacers fans and stuff like that were literally like, like, we hate Buddy Hield because he'll play 10 good games for you. And then he'll just play, like, trash and blah. It's just the Buddy Hield experience. And I'm like, has he had a couple of rough games with the Warriors? Yes, he absolutely has. But like other than that, like he's been pretty consistent. And not only has he been consistent, but like he's a hard worker. He's a great teammate. He's a good hype guy. He's someone that like whether or not he's playing like his perfect best basketball, like he's someone that's like a joy to have on your team. Like everyone keeps talking about how he's just like a light. He shows up to practice and he's like in a good mood. He puts in the work. He's always smiling. He's always laughing. He's always lifting his teammates up. Like, I don't understand why you're going to put someone like that down who's like trying their best and who's also a great teammate just because they're not consistently perfect for you. But the Pacers being a 9 seed says a lot. Like in the East, they're not just like, for funsies, 9 seed. They're a 9 seed in the East.
And, like, Tyrese Halliburton, like, had a couple good games, especially after we called him out for being trash. He like came out and had a couple good games, but he's still
I remember
not
that. Yeah.
Anywhere. I literally texted Caitlin. I was like, do we delete the episode? Like,
what do we do?
And of course, yeah, I'm sure they play tonight and I'm sure he'll go off for 40 because we're talking about him, but
because he just has been non-existent.
He was like their whole franchise star. And he was so exciting last year. I was so obsessed with that Pacers team. I wanted them to win the NBA Cup last year. And they just fell off. So I was not expecting that. I expected them to at least be like in the fifth or sixth seed.
Yeah. And I like, so I'm looking at the standings right now. That's why I'm looking at my phone or looking down at my phone.
Yeah. I was like, but, I've got them in front of me on my laptop.
Yeah. But like to see the Pacers be with, like be essentially tied with the Nets, Bulls, and Pistons is crazy to me. The Nets have lost one less game, but that's because they've played one less game. The Pistons have lost one more game, and it's because they've played one more game. But other than that, they're all 10 win teams.
Yeah.
And like the Pistons were the worst team in the league last year with the Wizards. And the Bulls, they've always been like a super low mid team. They've never or always, I say always as in like the last few years. And that's kind of what we all expected from them again this year. And the Nets, they're a rebuilding team. Like why are you the Pacers who were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, the 9 seed right now and playing the way that you're playing? It's been very interesting. I'm so with you.
Yeah. I would say I don't think the Celtics have surprised me at all. I expected them to be as high up. We've talked about the Cavs a lot. I would say like they're shocking in a good way.
Absolutely. Of course, I didn't expect them to be one.
I would like to say, of course, they're in the Eastern Conference. So we have to take space for that. Okay. We have to hold space for that. They're in the Eastern Conference, but they're still winning and they're beating a lot of teams and they're doing really good. They seem to have a lot of team chemistry going on. They've seemed to click a lot. So I'm interested to see like how that continues going. And then you have the Hawks are a little surprising. I think Trae Young, I don't love his game usually, but I think he has turned into more of like a true point guard this year. And
me
obviously
too.
He's breaking all these records with facilitating and he's been doing a lot of that. And it's really impressive. I just feel like the Hawks are stuck again. I've talked about this. Like I feel the same way about the Kings on the West Coast, where it's like they have so many good pieces, and on paper you'd think like when you have people like Trae Young and other people like that they should be much better, and like they are good but they're not great. So I'm like the Hawks, I think, are still a couple moves away. But that of course Bogey's been out, so I know that's a big thing with Hawks fans.
Yeah, I agree. And even though with him being out, ever since he's been back, he's had quite a few rough games too. I don't think he's
he's gonna get back in game shape. So
that's what I was gonna say. I think he's physically back. I don't think he's all the way back, as in like back to like true Bogey. But like
after you miss so many games, I think you just like need literally like 2 weeks to get back into literally getting remembering how to run up and down the court for however long you're going to be out there.
Yeah, no, so true. And I think for me, I totally agree with you with Trae. I think that the Hawks are like a positive for me. I have never been like a big Hawks believer. I've never really liked them. And maybe we'll talk about them a little bit in a few when we talk about the NBA Cup. But watching them this year and watching Trae kind of give up almost being like that full foul grifter, like I feel like that's all he used to do, and that's probably why he used to score so much. I feel like he's kind of either given up on that or refs just maybe aren't calling it as much. But when I watch him, like he doesn't seem to be doing it as much, and he really is like taking on this facilitating role, and his shot selection has been a lot better because he's not just like chucking up these random shots and trying to get a foul on it. Like he's choosing good shots. And I really like Jalen Johnson next to him. I love watching Dyson Daniels. And I obviously love Bogey. He's one of my favorites. I think I said this either last week or maybe
so bad.
I love him. He's my favorite. I hate his haircut though. I want him to change that. But that's neither here nor there. but like as a whole, I love this Hawks team. For the most part, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I think that if they get a different center and maybe just like a little bit more like vet depth, just consistent guys that you can throw in and, you know, continue a win, I feel like they'd be in an amazing position. I just think that, like, with the way that Trae Young is playing with his facilitation and the way that he is, like, just passing and handling offense and everything like that, and you have Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson and all these other guys that are playing great defense, and even Clint Capella has been a fantastic rebounder and, you know, a decent rim protector. I feel like you just need a little bit more of like a scoring big next to Trae Young. But I really do kind of like this team. Like, I think I said this before. They're a good surprise for me. I'm actually enjoying watching them play. And I think that in the next couple of years, if they make a couple of big moves, I think that they'll be an actual, you know, contender, or at least a consistent playoff team, which they have not been in a very, very long time.
Yeah, let's move on to the West Coast. To the West, to the West.
Conference.
Everybody move from the East to the West. Anyway, the... thanks. I wanted to talk about the Pelicans. The Pelicans are 5-21.
I literally did not realize that. Like, I knew that they were losing games.
And of course they beat the freaking Nuggets, because the Nuggets are good team merchants only. The Pelicans are going through it. I, as we've talked about, do not think Zion is ever going to be healthy. I mean, the body, like, no offense, was not made to be like 6'7" and almost 300 pounds coming up from the basket, landing on your feet. Okay.
Yep, I agree.
So I don't have too much to say other than, I mean, like, they didn't even have like a true center going into this year. I think I didn't like project them being this awful. So that's why it's shocking to me. Like, I don't know what they can do to fix it.
I think that we'll have to, well, first of all, we have to go back to that too. we'll have to go back to our NBA predictions episode, because I think that, I think I let NBA Twitter gaslight me into thinking that they were going to be better. But I said this over the summer, like, my original take on this team was that I think that they lost a couple of really good pieces, and it didn't make sense to me because they weren't really picking anyone up besides DeJounte Murray. And I talked kind of about the health of Zion and how I just didn't really believe in this team, and that I really thought that they would be missing the playoffs. And then when we kind of like redid our predictions, or like
everyone
rearranged
them.
Yes. Everyone was like, they're going to be better. And I was like, yes, I let them gaslight me, or just like, you know, convince me that they were going to be better. And I was like, you're probably right.
I thought DeJounte Murray was going to be a good fit, but no one's been healthy, so we can't even really see what this.
So true. I guess that's, I mean, that's a big part of it.
We can't even see anything. They don't have a good center. They don't have a real center. So I think they're screwed. The Jazz and Trailblazers are not surprising to me. Again, the Kings are, I mean, this is how hard it is in the West. You know, they're a 500 team. They're 13-13. Yeah. They're at 12 right now. Of course, the standings are going to change so much. I am surprised by them, just because I feel like, I don't know why this word comes to mind, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Like, they always look so good some seasons, and they'll be like fifth or sixth, where you're like, I really think they can make an impact, and you have Sabonis, and you have De'Aaron Fox, and you have Keegan Murray, who's been an excellent role player for them. And I know when he played against the Nuggets last year, I felt like every 5 seconds it was Keegan Murray. And you're like, okay,
That was in every Kings game the last couple of years. And that's actually exactly what I said, is that Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray both lost their three-point shot. Their three-point percentage has literally, both of them, efficiency-wise, have gone down like between 5 and 10%. And like, because of that, they've also been now shooting less of them from the beginning of the season. Like, in the beginning of the season, they were shooting more of them, and then they started shooting less of them when they stopped making them. And so I think that you're losing out on like a lot of points that they had 2 years ago when they were, you know, back in the playoffs for the first time in forever.
And I know you specifically, you liked the, when we talked about it first, you liked the DeMar DeRozan trade. Do you think that has anything to do with where they are? Like, again, big three, it's hard to do. And you have people like Malik Monk, like, you have so many pieces on this team. And I just don't know. I haven't been able to watch them as much as, like, I've watched some of the other teams. So I feel like they're one of those people that I'm like, I need to watch and be like, what's happening?
So, no, I don't necessarily think that it's DeMar DeRozan. Maybe, or like just the DeMar DeRozan trade and how they're fitting in together. Yeah. Maybe they do need to, sorry, I'm just pulling up like their schedule and stuff. Oh, yeah, but like maybe they do need to, you know, get a little bit more team chemistry between like the quote unquote big three kind of thing. You know, like I think about De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan and DeMontis Sabonis. They're kind of three players that can all be facilitators.
De'Aaron Fox, if you want to come to like the Nuggets and be on a win now team.
We could use a point guard that wants
Cats by 90. We need to replace we might need to replace our other Cats by 90.
I forgot he went to Kentucky too.
De'Aaron was the year after Jamal.
Yes, that's
it's honestly
so
amazing
funny.
How many guys like from Kentucky are in the NBA, and then how many rings Kentucky never gets because they always choke in the playoffs. Even like the year they went 38-0. Kat, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, Anthony Davis, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk,
oh, you already said Devin Booker.
Tyler Harrow, Bam. Like, I could go on for days.
I love it. That's actually really crazy that they all did that. Okay, so I just want to, I'll read this to you. This is Kevin Herter's stats, and this is kind of what I was saying, is that, like, you're losing out on a lot of scoring with him. I mean, so these are his last few games. 7 points. And he was 1 for 8 from three. This one game that he played, he had 26 points and was shooting 71%. But that's like by far his best game this season. Then he had 16 points and he was 4 for 4 from three. And by the way, those two games like really boosted his 3-point percentage. His 3-point percentage right now is 31%. And a couple of years ago when he, a couple of years ago when he first came to the Kings, he was shooting 40% from three. 40%. And he was averaging 15 points a game. Right now, he's only averaging 9 points a game. But like I said, those numbers have been inflated over his last couple of games because he's had a lot more than normal. I mean, these are his points games before the 26 and 16 points. 6, 13, 1, 3, 0, 11, 0, 9, 18, 4. 22. Like, yeah. So just like his scoring in general has been down so much. And when you 2 years ago, when they were in the playoffs, when you have a guy shooting 40% from three, averaging 15 points in his games, that's super helpful. And then I'm going to go to Keegan Murray because he's kind of similar. Although I feel like Keegan Murray has actually, kind of adjusted his game a little bit since he has not been making his threes because he was such a big 3-point shooter. I mean, they literally were calling him, you know, Keegan Murray with the threes as the E's in his name. And so, you know, you go from that with Kevin Herter, 40% from three, and then you go to Keegan Murray, who a couple of years ago was 41% from three and is now 29% from three. Okay, so you go from 45% to 29. He is now averaging.
Insane.
It's a big drop. And now he's still averaging 12 points per game. He was averaging 12 points per game in his rookie season, 15 points per game last year. And now he's back down to 12. But like I said, he has adjusted his game a lot to where he is shooting a lot more twos, a lot more mid ranges, a lot more layups and just inside scoring. And he is, but even his regular field goal percentage is down overall. He's at 42% when he was at 45. And now he's kind of focusing on like rebounding and things like that. I think he's kind of leaning into that small forward, power forward kind of role for the team, as opposed to being the 3-point shooter that he was his rookie season. So that's just kind of what I've been seeing, is just that, like, I feel like they're missing a lot of the perimeter scoring. They have plenty of inside scoring, I think. Yeah. And you and I kind of talked about this, Everyone in the league is kind of adjusting to having 3-point scoring and inside scoring, like perimeter and inside. Like they're kind of playing whole basketball now. It's not really one or the other. And for them, I feel like De'Aaron Fox is really the only one that kind of has an outside shot right now. And I think that that's killing them. I don't think that, if you're playing a team like the Celtics or a team like the Warriors or a team like the Suns, you know, people who are going to be putting up, or the Mavs, people who are going to be putting up big numbers behind the perimeter, if they shoot more threes than you and you're only shooting twos, there's a 90%
even if you're making all your twos, you're screwed. Okay. Because
three is more points than two.
As we have said, yeah, the team that win 100% of the time, the team that wins and is the team that scored more points. And unfortunately, three is more than two, okay?
It is. And so that's my problem.
So the Timberwolves have obviously been another shocking team. I did not have them going this low. And it's so funny because I always hated the Timberwolves and now I kind of feel bad for them in a way.
Right? I feel like the same way.
It's weird. I didn't think I would ever feel bad for them, but maybe it's just because like they're so bad right now. And yeah, it's like they traded, you know, Kat, which again, we've talked about, so we don't need to get into that. I think we've talked about how shocking that trade still was.
A ton, yeah.
But like you have a guy like Dante DiVincenzo, who's like obviously like shooting over 40% from three, and now he's shooting like 25% or like less.
Yep. I know. I just,
not great.
Me personally, I don't really know what their problem is. I don't know if it's like a team chemistry thing. Because it's like, it's not like Dante DiVincenzo gets a ton of minutes. So like while his personal, while his personal stats have gone down a ton, I don't think that that's what's affecting them. Julius Randle seems to be doing well on his own. Anthony Edwards is doing well on his own. Rudy Gobert is doing well on his own. So like
can we talk about how Rudy Gobert has like what he's like the 1200th time D-boy. And I've never seen so many highlight reels of people dunking on that man.
It's the
best. More than anyone, I think. How is he the D-boy? Like, did I miss something in these seasons? I must have. I clearly didn't care about the Timberwolves to watch him. But I like, it's so appalling to see that this man is.
Well, let's talk about this because, let's chit chat about it. So you have Rudy Gobert, D-boy, right? You have the 7-footer right now. The 7-footer. Right now, the Minnesota Timberwolves are 25th in the league in rebounds out of 30 teams. In rebounding, you are getting the 5th least second chance points, or just like the 5th least rebounds in general. Like that's not okay when you have Rudy Gobert and even Julius Randle. Julius Randle's a big dude and he should be down low grabbing those rebounds too. Anthony Edwards is an incredibly athletic guy. He should be jumping in there doing that. Blocks. They're 20th in the league. Depoy? Where?
Where are you?
They're turning the ball over a ton. They're 24th in turnovers, which is bad. The lower you are, the worse it is.
You can tell, like, the Ant. Like some games he is making all these threes he's jacking, and then others he's still jacking them and
he's
not making
them. I think,
bestie, you're not Steph Curry. Like, let's dial it back. Yeah. I understand needing that 3-point shot, especially right now in the NBA. And I understand his thought process by that 100%. Nikola Jokic literally did the same thing. He's like, I literally made an adjustment to my shot. Because they know that it's important. But Nikola Jokic has one of the highest 3-point percentages because he's taking them, but he's taking like 3 or 4 a game. He's not taking 9, 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And like, I'm like looking at this stuff too. And like their opponent points allowed per game is the 4th. Like, that's great. Their opponent 3-point percentage is super low. So they've got great perimeter defense. That's awesome. But their assists are also 20th in the league. So they're not assisting a lot. Maybe that's part of it, is that they're playing a little bit more selfish basketball. yeah. With their new team.
I mean, because clearly maybe their locker room isn't great because even Ant said something about it, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
They've got, I don't know. They might have to make a trade or something. It's awkward. And especially like if your star's making comments another like one. That, like he's clearly not happy.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the last team I wanted to talk about was just a little bit about the Rockets. We've talked about they're playing incredibly. I did not expect them. I think I had them really low. And again, Caitlin and I both had them low in our like early season predictions because we were like, okay, they didn't make any like big moves in the offseason. And we weren't calling them bad. We were just talking about how good the West, you know, is. Yeah. But they, you know, they're 17th.
I put them 15th. I say right now, I was all the way dead wrong about the Rockets. Hand up. Other hand, cripple hand on the Bible, and other hand up, I was wrong about the Rockets, and I enjoy watching them play basketball, and I should have trusted what other people said about how good they are. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I knew they were good. Like, I loved Fred VanVleet on that team. You know, Dylan Brooks is a dog. He's an annoying dog, but he is a dog. He's an animal. And you have Alperen Şengün, who... Again, he either like he's been having really good games and then sometimes he doesn't have good games. Like sometimes he'll have a great game and then you look and his like he was like 20% from the field. Yep. But again, he models a lot of his game, or maybe he doesn't model, but you have to assume
it looks a lot like it.
It looks a lot like Jokic. Okay.
Maybe it's just that European basketball.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a lot of great pieces on that team. Jabari Smith and a lot of other people have been contributing so much. I still don't think Jalen Green is their guy, but I think they'll probably keep... I mean, they're winning, so it's like you don't really need to... I always say, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, which is how I felt with the Timberwolves getting rid of Kat after you made...
And the Knicks.
The finals...
I mean, okay. Even luckily, I think that the Knicks are starting to be the clear winners here. Kat's yeah. playing incredible for them, and they're 100%. Starting to win a ton of games and stuff.
What was he, like 20 the other night? 20 rebounds, 20 mm-hmm. points or something?
He's insane, yeah. He's been playing.
Could be using out those of rebounds. Mind.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They're like, he's playing out of his mind. And yeah, the Timberwolves just look so bad. But yeah, I agree. I agree with you about the Rockets. If it's not broke... Don't fix it. They've got keep a lot of young, hungry guys. You have Fred VanVleet as a really great leader for this team. They've obviously got great team chemistry. They're all athletic. They're hype. They're, you know, they're in great shape and they're winning games. And I think that that's
Ime
what matters.
Udoka,
obviously.
Side note, scares me. When they make a mistake, Ime Udoka,
I'm terrified of him.
Terrifies me. I was like, I would not want him as my coach. Like,
no wonder the Celtics have been so good. Because they have Why? Two crazy ass coaches, Ime Udoka and what's his
name? And Joe Mazzulla.
And Joe Mazzulla, thank you. Yes.
But honestly, I was thinking, and I was like, actually, all the coaches scare me when you like see how angry they get. I'm like, I think about this all the time. Like, Steve Kerr would not want to be in a room with that guy if I, you know, lost us a game. But even Malone, like, was making fun of Jalen Pickett the other game. And I was like, oh my God, he hates this guy. Like,
yep.
He, like, Jalen, like, went up and, like, got a random score. And, like, Malone, like, made fun. I was like, Malone's not like this kid. But moving on, yes, Rockets are great. We will continue talking about them because the NBA Cup semifinals is happening. We have the Bucks, Hawks, and Thunder Rockets.
I want the Hawks to win. That's all I'm going to say. I want the Hawks to win. Kind of. I would actually like to see the NBA Cup Finals be the Hawks and the Rockets. I love the idea of these. And I mean, the nice part is that the four teams that are in there are small market teams. I think that's cool for them and cool for their cities and cool for these teams that don't normally
get, Atlanta is super small.
Well, but like they're just like a crappy team that doesn't. Yeah, exactly. And they just like they don't get a you know,
people
it's
that
not
live
like
in Atlanta,
a California
I don't think
team.
Are Atlanta fans.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And like that's what I'm saying is like, you know, it's not one of the Texas teams. It's not a New York team. You know, they're like the people don't care about them as much. And so having like the Houston Rockets and the Hawks in there, I just feel like that would be like a really cool like you've got like kind of like the older I mean, I guess Trae Young isn't even old. He looks old, though. His poor hair. I'm sorry. That was
his
mean.
Hair.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I don't know what he's got going on.
Sorry, Trae Young. Yeah, it's rough. But you have like these, you know, like really good like leader point guards. And then you have a bunch of young guys surrounding them. And they're just all young and hungry. OKC bugs me, and so do the Bucks. So I would love to see those two in the finals.
I'm honestly most excited for the Rockets and Thunder game, obviously, because last game it was such a good game to watch. The last couple, yeah. I think they played twice now. Great games to watch. As long as the refs let them play super physical, they're both literally like some of the top defenses in the league, obviously, right now.
So and they're physical defenses.
So that's why I want to see some physical defense. Again, like it was really fun. You saw like Shea and Dylan Brooks going at it, like because they're competitive and they're both from Canada. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for these games. Whoever wins, I don't want to see any stupid ski masks and champagne in the locker room. Okay, we're not even halfway through the season, besties. Like, we're not raising a banner for the NBA Cup champions. Like,
I think that they're like trying to like. I think that that's like what they're trying to make it. Like, I think that like the NBA provides that stuff and is like, go crazy.
Oh, of course,
celebrate this. It's just so
crazy. Well, the thing is, like, I have to talk, Adam Silver, like this is a heart to heart for you, from me to you right now. I know you're trying to make like the in-season tournament make basketball more exciting. Okay. What I'm going to tell you is the people that are watching it are already NBA lovers, because no one else that is an NBA playoff watcher cares about the NBA at all while football is going on. So I'm just letting you know that right now. Okay. Like people that love the NBA and watch, like, need to watch the whole season, we're already going to watch the games, okay? Because that's what we do. I hate to tell you that until football disappears, which is never going to happen, that no one else, I don't think, is going to care anymore about the in-season tournament games. I'm so sorry.
I have to use this love meme you. Real quick. Okay, hold on. So this is me right now, okay?
Yeah, the guy.
That's me. Yeah, okay. Here we go, everyone. I like the NBA Cup. I said it. I like it. I enjoy it. I was watching it the other night, and I was like, this feels different. This feels like a tournament. Mm. And I was like, everyone's hype. And I enjoy it. I think I'm the only one, but I was like,
I just honestly, I feel as a gimmick to get more people to watch. I don't think the people that weren't watching the NBA right now are watching the NBA for the cup, you know, unless they are just like sports watchers that are like, oh, it's on, like I'll watch it. But I think a lot of people are like that. I'm just saying, like, as a gimmick, which I think it was to get people to watch it like they do the playoffs. It's not that.
No, it's definitely not. I was just saying, because like even like the sport, like even like the NBA lovers and the basketball lovers and stuff like that, they're just like, this is so stupid. I hate it. And I'm like, I kind of love it. Like, I love like adding competition to meaning, quote unquote, meaningless.
Yeah. I don't ever want the NBA like championship to be diminished in any way, though, just because like it is such a big deal.
No.
So I do, like, I don't think last year anyone cared about, like, who won the NBA Cup, like, to be fair. So that's why I think it is kind of pointless, because all the players were, like, cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and again, like, you don't have the Celtics in there and the Cavs in there. So clearly it's, like, none of them are, like, that distraught over losing this. So I think that's where I'm just, like, I'm, like, indifferent, you know? Like, I'm just, like, oh, it's happening, and I was going to watch these games anyway, so whatever. The court's little aggravating, a little nausea inducing, making me a little vomitous. Okay? That's it.
I'm so dead. I just like, for me, like, I think that, I mean, obviously, and I think that that's why you have the smaller market teams that always end up in it, or like that are ending up in it because of like the money that you win from it and stuff like that. And so you don't have guys on $50 million contracts on all these teams. Well, besides OKC, you have a couple big contracts and stuff. And same with the Bucks. That's part of the reason that I probably want the Rockets in Atlanta to win, because I'm like, you know how happy these young guys would be with their little fat checks.
did you see Josh Hart though when they were interviewing them before they got knocked off? Well, he was like, I don't care about these young dudes getting money. I'm worried about what I'm going to spend. And Josh Hart went, you're an asshole.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it was it Jalen Brunson that said that? That it was telling him like, you're an asshole.
What name did I just say?
Josh Hart. But yes, because you were talking about Josh Hart. But yes, I was going to say, wasn't it Jalen Brunson that was right behind him and
Jalen,
said that?
Jalen Brunson went, you're an asshole to Josh Hart. Yeah. He was like,
so good.
I love Jalen Brunson. He's so funny. I saw a thing today, TikTok. They've been doing calling them by their government names. And he has a weird government name. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
What was it? And he was like, you stop that.
I'm dead.
What's his real Marquise? She called him Marquise. And he said, Stop. Whoa. He said, shut your mouth or something. He said, mm-mm-mm. You shut your mouth.
I love that trend again, when they do it to the football teams too.
They were like, whoa. At first they're like, yeah. What's up?
Don't you ever.
That's like someone coming in and calling me Anna. I'd be like, ah.
Did you just Anna name Hayes? Drop yourself?
I did.
I don't think. You literally, okay, so you tweeted one time and you said.
I did. I said, none of you know that Spencer's not my first name.
I know, but then you never told anyone your first name.
I know.
And so you just named. Yeah. This is incredible. I have to tell everyone to watch this episode. And I'm not even going to tell them when you name drop it. Because if I say that it's going to be at the end, then they're just going to skip to the end. So I'm just going to be
if you didn't know.
Got to watch to find out.
My name is Anna Spencer Hayes. But my brothers and I have all been called by our middle names our entire lives, except I had a stint in middle and high school where boys were making fun of me for having a boy name. So then I forced everyone to call me Anna for a few years. And then I went back because I realized that was stupid.
Spencer to me. You don't look like an Anna.
Well, my mom always said, because Anna is my mom's name. Mm-hmm. And so my mom thought Spencer Anna Hayes sounded weird, which it does. Anna Spencer Hayes flows much better. And then same with all my brothers. My brothers, we all have family names as our first names, but we've all got by our middle names. So it's really funny, when I go to the doctor's offices, because I get really, I will just put Anna so we don't have to, do the whole thing.
I'm dead.
But it's really confusing. Yeah. So now you all know that Spencer's not my first name. And if any of you try and call me Anna on social media, you will get popped. Okay? Or blocked.
She'll do it.
Anyway, that was our episode today. Of course, we thought it was going to be 45 minutes, but there was kind of a lot to talk about.
In depth with that.
Yeah. So again, as we said at the beginning of the video, if you didn't watch the intro, please comment, subscribe, talk to us everywhere and anywhere you can. We'll have the link for our merch stuff down below if you think someone in your life or yourself would love this.
At least go just check it out because, like I said, I mean, we have watch more sports than you. We have another one that says just anything you stuff, can do, I can do cuter.
Take we up have space logo for the girls.
Stuff. Yep, take up space, all sorts of good stuff. So,
hot girls watch sports in the little hats. They're so cute.
Mm-hmm.
We love you guys. We will talk to you all probably on Monday or Tuesday, probably on Monday with how the cup games go and stuff like that. A lot of games are happening tonight.
And we have we have a fat night of games tonight.
Fat night. So I don't have anything else to say.
Me neither. I'm happy to be here and I'm so happy that you're here.
We're so happy to be here together and we're going to be together so, so soon because it's almost Christmas and I will be at Caitlin's house on Christmas Eve and it's going to be such good stuff. So
the girls are so excited. They're like
Christmas with little kids.
Spencer's going to be here on Christmas.
Oh, I'm like Christmas Eve. I'm like, as soon as I get there, we got to put on a Christmas movie with the girls. And I've decided we're all going to have to wear matching PJs and get pictures. So.
Oh, I'll literally go on Amazon buy them right now. Don't ask me twice. BRB.
Okay. Thank you. If you stayed the whole time, we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening to us. Yap. We wouldn't do it without
best
you.
Friends.
We would not still be doing this, of course, without any of you. So all of you that watch, thank you. And of course, if you have any friends that don't like YouTube and you think they might like us, then we are also on everything. Our Linktree and Spotify, all that stuff is down below too. Spotify, podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the things. So
someone was so nice at the wedding yesterday and went to go find us, like, because she likes podcasts, and she went to go find us, I think, on one of the audio platforms on Spotify or Apple or whatever, because it was so funny. She it was mentioned by Alyssa's mom, and like that we have a podcast, and she was like, "You have an amazing podcast voice," and I was like, "What?
You do? It's really annoying." Caitlin has like Caitlin has like the nicest, most soothing voice. And I feel like mine is like,
but thank you anyway. No, you have a great voice. And I just like, I always hated my voice until.
Yeah, I feel like every person hates their voice. Okay, well, the longer we go, the longer I have to edit. And
So sorry. Sorry, friends. Love you so much. And go Spencer. We love Spencer. Spencer edits and does a great job and is incredible. So if you don't tell her that, then I'll literally cry. So.
Thanks. Caitlin is also wonderful because she has a grueling full-time job that has become not just full-time, but probably a two-person job. And she's also a full-time mommy. So this is why I edit, because I am not a mom yet. I have extra time. She does. She doesn't.
I've never had time in my life.
But we love you so much again for the 1,200th time. And now we will actually.
We're leaving now.
Bye.
Now we're going.
Maybe. No. Okay.